echoey sound?
No.
Sarah?
What?
All right. There is. Hello?
Your lack of faith disturbs me.
All right. Am I imagining this sound? Are we on the air right now?
I think so.
Hello?
I sound really weird, too.
Well, there's more to us than usual.
He's definitely.
They changed the...
And Tim is much louder than everyone else. I appear to be speaking from the inside. I appear to be speaking from the inside of a rock tumbler.
I kind of like it, really.
Ow!
Let's right. play some hip-hop.
Okay. Oh, my gosh. It's like you don't turn down.
You have to speak more quietly. All right. Wait, hold on. I think I'm back to being normal.
Oh, I'm not. Best show ever.
Is this just happening in our heads, or do we really sound strange?
Time now for your 12 favorite love songs in the world.
Here's what I think was happening just now. I think Tim's microphone...
Uh-huh.
Is the gain on Tim's microphone, like, way hotter than the rest of ours? Because I think it was...
I talk at my normal level?
Seriously, you are so loud.
Somebody messed with our microphone.
That's okay.
Look at him.
Let's talk to an engineer, shall we?
Hello, Mr. Engineer.
Welcome
like
to the Rick Emerson Show. Ryan Bennett from CBS Radio Engineering. How are you, sir?
Good, good.
All right. There appears to be something all askew with Tim's microphone.
It all depends on your perspective.
Here, you can really help with that.
Perhaps one is louder than the other. I don't see any problem with that.
I swear to God, you're caving in the sides of my head.
Okay.
Cilia are breaking off by the thousands inside my ears. You can help us all by not speaking for a second.
All right.
the gain on Tim's microphone appears to be excessive.
Askew?
I'm having some weird... There's like a flange...
Well, you like coffee, don't you?
Seriously, you have no idea how loud you are in our ears right now. I know that to everybody in the audience, it probably sounds fine. But every time you speak, it's like hundreds of little gnomes with steel-toed boots kicking me in the inside of the head.
Should I whisper? This is the quiet storm. At 970 kilocycles on your AM dial.
Is there something wrong with my microphone? You will indeed. Thank you.
And he'll get back to you at 3.
In the words of every radio engineer ever, well, let me know if it happens again.
But at least we have radio engineers in the building to contact.
At least we sort of know where you are. It'll take care of itself.
Rattle it around a little bit.
When we flip to Spanish, this won't be an issue. All right. I'm just going to turn my headphones way down because Tim sounds all loud and whatnot. All right, the engineers are...
feel guilty.
Maybe if you sat across the room from the microphone. All right, have you tried dropping Tim's mic?
I have. It's like half of what it usually is.
All right, kids. Give me the best show ever. It's 3 minutes and 48 seconds after the hour of noon in this, the month of August, in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming by, making it a part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed and somewhat overmodulated studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We're here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. It is Monday. Thank you for coming by. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. I'm going to find a way to pin this on the Timnasium. You mark my words. I'm going to find a way to make it happen. It's 503-733-2970. And you can also email us, rick@rickemerson.com. Here's the thing that happens in radio sometimes, and you all are often not aware of this, and I hear this happens to Likas every now and again. He was having some sort of an issue the other day where he was moving his microphone around, and there was some sort of a bizarre creaking noise that the mic arm was making, you know, the thing that actually holds the microphone. We here in radio, we speak... And then our voices go through the mic, which is called a transducer. A microphone operates under the principle of transduction, which is it takes energy of one form and it turns it into another form of energy. In this case, it's turned into a sound wave. It goes through all the equipment, and it goes through a lot of processing. You know, like at home, you have your graphic equalizer on your stereo. You know, like that crappy one-piece... You know, it's that stereo you had for your dorm room where it's like a turntable on top and then like a radio in the middle and then like two tape decks down below. And the whole thing cost you $49.99 at Best Buy.
And I donated mine to the Salvation Army and wrote it off.
It's got that terrible graphic equalizer where it looks
It doesn't do a thing.
And
makes you feel good, though.
And it's set up to be, it's deceiving. It's deceiving because you look at the graphic equalizer and there's like 10 little adjusting things, but they're always hooked together in sets of two, so you've really only got like four. Anyway, so imagine one of those that costs like $40 million. That's what our voices go through here. So by the time you hear everything, by the time the sound actually comes out of your speakers, it no longer sounds the way it's sounding right here in the studio, which is with Tim Riley. Every time Tim is speaking now, it's like five or six or eight times louder than Sarah and myself. My microphone, on the other hand, has got a weird sort of echoey thing going on, which may or may not be the case when you actually hear it up here.
No, it doesn't sound like it to me.
Tim's unable to hear anything, though, so you really shouldn't use him as any sort of auditory bellwether. In any event, it's 503-733-2970. You want to get on board electronically, it's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com. A whole lot to get to today before we do anything else. Let us now welcome to the Rick Emerson radio program.
A postman is the person in your neighborhood.
Let's welcome now Mailman Chris, the official stenographer of the Rick Emerson radio show. How are you, sir?
Doing okay.
All right. That was loud.
Okay, that's really... See? Where is your God now, Tim Riley?
Oh, that belongs on a website somewhere to be played over and over again.
is this Scott Stapp? I don't even want to say hello, because then Chris is going to talk again. It's going to deafen us all again. Chris, I want you to speak real quietly for a moment. How are you today?
I am doing very well.
That's the way we want everyone to speak today.
Thank you.
Not tonight, Bishop.
All right. How was your weekend, sir? Was it satisfying and safe?
Unfortunately, no. But it's over, so.
Oh, that's right. Your family was here this weekend, wasn't it?
No. I lost a day off, had to cancel a vacation, and lost the family pet all in one day.
Oh. Way to bring the show down.
Well, now it's got nowhere to go but up.
Was it a cat?
It was.
Oh, well, there you go. So I mean...
Rick, cats live long lives.
No, that's what I'm saying.
There's nothing to feel sorry about for a cat.
I mean, I'm just saying...
In comparison to other animals of the animal kingdom, cats live long lives.
I'm sure the cat had a long and fruitful existence of irritating you and disregarding your orders and destroying personal possessions. I'm sure the cat probably passed from this life having led a full and satisfying existence of irritating humans at every opportunity. A cat can ask for nothing more, sir.
Well, died in a more dignified way than being trapped in a cooler.
And then the buzzkill just keeps on coming.
Like I said, I'm glad the weekend's over.
Did you accidentally drop it in the cooler, Chris?
Oh, tell
no, me. No, I didn't.
Did John Geronimo accidentally drop it in the cooler? I'm sorry, that was... I shouldn't have said that.
I'm sure we can find him a cat that looks exactly like the one he had.
Seriously, there's only like three. One cat, many faces, my friend. Now, when you say cooler, see, now I have to know more.
Yeah, me too.
Was this like a freezer, or was it like a little kind of thermos kind that you take your six-pack to the beach?
It's the kind that you use for a camping trip that you don't get to go on because you have to come in and work on your day off instead. And so you leave the camping cooler sitting in the backyard.
And when you say a camping cooler, so this is one of those things that's maybe 3 feet by 2 feet.
Yeah.
The big, thick plastic lid that goes on top, you fill it with ice and you put your food and whatever in there?
Yeah, and right. it's got a nice brand-new one, so it's got a good airtight seal.
Now, how would
Oh, my God. Okay.
No,
but how did the seal get airtight?
Sealed.
Because the cat jumped in and then it knocked the lid down and the lid closed and.
Oh, I see. So it was sort of a knocking out the doorstop kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Why did the cat get in the cooler? Was there food in there?
No, but it was in the shade, so it was probably cool because it was like 90 degrees outside on Saturday.
So how did you find the cat?
We were looking for the cat, and I...
Was it you that found the cat?
Unfortunately, no, it was...
Please don't say it was one of your children.
The child.
Eight-year-old.
Oh, that's no good.
Better than a three-year-old.
Way to see that glass is half full, Chris.
Like I said, the week has nowhere to go but up for me now.
Hey, Chris, don't forget that Supernova's on at 10 tomorrow instead of 9.
At 10
the week
tomorrow.
The week continues to be bad.
Hey,
Well, no, look at the bright. No, look at the bright side. Now, see, now you can get a dog. There you go. See, that's so
that's a real pet.
That's
I've got a dog. I've got a dog, and he's so.
You see,
and he's much too big to fit in a cooler.
And, well, I'm saying, look, and you. Let's be honest, and a dog would not have done this. This is completely, you know what it is?
Muppet's gotten himself stuck in the laundry room before.
Let me ask you this. How old was this cat?
About a year old.
About a year old. See, I was, it was going to be my story just keeps getting better and worse.
It's a terrible story.
Well, I'm so deep, I'm knee deep into it now. There's no way we can't pretend that this conversation didn't happen. I can't possibly dump it all now. It's the delay. No delay is going to help us. But here's the thing about this.
I think this you would have a more caring attitude had this been a dog.
Oh, no, absolutely. Because people, I mean, look, because I know there's a shortage of cats and whatnot in the world. I'm just saying, there's a reason you never hear about anybody having, you know, 136 dogs. That's all I'm saying. It was going to be my speculation. Now, did you care for the cat yourself personally? Or was this a cat that you tolerated because other people in your family loved it?
He was a good little guy. He was cute.
Aww.
Well, now he'll stay small and cute. Now,
yeah.
Now you want to have that pesky outgrowing the kitten stage that they go through.
Because it's just therapeutic.
Okay. I was simply going to make the observation. It was going to be my guess that the cat had lived a long life and that this was its final way to antagonize and irritate people. That was going to be my guess. Because cats are, let's be honest, it's like when you're playing a video game. Do you remember you play a video game like you're playing The Sims or something, and you engage in certain kinds of, like you accomplish a task or you do a job, and you get sort of life points or like if you play The Sims, if you can give your Sim character like a good job or friends or whatever, then the happiness meter on your Sim control panel goes up. When a cat is doing something to annoy human beings, that's when its happiness meter starts to go up. And you know that this is true. Cats derive, it is a direct proportion. It's a directly proportional relationship between a cat's happiness and how much it's able to irritate and bother human beings. So I figured this was like the cat's way of going out in style. Like just sticking it in one last time as it shuffled off its mortal coil. Well, okay. Well, other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play? Anywho, let's move.
That cat's in a better cooler now.
it's gone to the big cooler in the sky.
Well, we're glad you can laugh about it.
You know that you would not find this funny if it was Max who got himself trapped in
the
cooler.
But that's because that's a dog. This is a cat we're talking about. You know.
Don't tempt fate.
What are you saying? God's going to give me. God's going to give me.
Stop where you're ahead, Emerson.
God's going to give me a cat. All right.
No, God's going to give you a cooler.
No,
a cat is not a real animal per se.
It's two thirds of an animal.
It may be like a step above a slug, with a tail.
That's Tim Riley who said that. Moving on. Let's talk about some of
But we do share your grief.
Of course.
But real quick, since I wasn't there on Thursday night for the snakes on a plane, Sarah, did you make Rick do any push-ups?
No.
We were too busy entertaining.
It didn't seem appropriate. Yeah, he was dancing around like a little
like a retarded monkey on crack. I was too busy giving. I had this whole thing where I had a bunch of snakes on a plane iron-ons for shirts, and I was giving them to chicks who had visible scars. And there were more of those than you might imagine. So that's kind of how I spent my my Thursday. Were you able to see snakes on a plane? Well, probably not. You had your hands full with other matters this week.
I had other things.
Well, all right. Well, let's just take a moment and now we're moving on. All right, well, let's get to some non-horrific things this week, or at least horrific in a different fashion. We got a penis watch coming up today. Bush watch, Brittany watch, Darwin watch. I believe we have Storm Large today, and we will get to a brand new installment of the week in Geek. All of those things will be gotten to on today's installment of the Rick Emerson radio program, sir. And my current push-up tally is what?
Current push-up tally is 42.
See, it's tempting just to keep it at 42 forever. All right, so have you got all of that, my friend?
I do. I've got Venus, Bush, Brittany, Roman Storm, and the Week in Geek.
Yes, indeed. That is what we're going to get to. All right, well, my condolences about the loss of the cat.
No, I'm hey, sure, you know what?
Look, I'm sure that another one will be along like any minute now. I mean, they're like so many dust bunnies under a bed. I mean, they're just
tribbles.
Yeah, they really are tribbles. They're omnipresent. Here's the deal. If I can, I don't want to do a whole lot of dog and cat talk and so forth. But I mean, if I can just say something that we know is true. I made this observation in the past about the difference between Portland and, say, Salt Lake City. That, you know, in Portland, if you ask people, like, hey, do you enjoy living in Portland? Everybody says, yeah, I love living in Portland. You know, do you enjoy living in Seattle? Yeah, Seattle rules. You go to Salt Lake City and you say, hey, do you enjoy living in Salt Lake? And people kind of go, you know, I'm here. You know, well, really, how do you like living in Provo, Utah? And people just sort of shrug and they, well, you know. Well, that's how it is.
We'll hear from Flint.
That's how it is with dogs and cats, in my experience. The people who have dogs really love their dogs. They're very, and I can, all the members of the Rick Emerson Show staff, we can attest to this. The people who love dogs are very, very into their dogs. You ask people who have cats about their cats, and the first words out of their mouths are always like, eh, well, that little bastard. The people who are really into cats, there's some sort of dysfunctional personality that is attracted to cats. And I don't just mean like the crazy cat lady. I mean, people who have cats, almost without exception, live in some sort of bizarre symbiotic relationship where the cat is the dominant partner and they are the subservient partner. And where they are on some level controlled by, manipulated by, and abused by the cat. And the proof of this is that I don't really know anybody that truly, truly loves and adores their cat. I know a lot of people who sort of grudgingly love a cat. Susan Reynolds is like this. Susan Reynolds is one of the... She has a cat that she refers to as, like, the damn cat. And the cat that we're just waiting to get rid of. Joni DeRoshi had one of those cats. Oh, what's your cat's name? A little furball I can't wait to be rid of. You know, and it's just... They love the cat while at the same time cursing it. Cats are sort of the abusive boyfriends of the domesticated animal world. So, all I'm saying, my friend, is now you can now step up. You can now move up a notch on the pet having ladder. That's all I'm saying.
One less mouth to feed.
Yes. See, there you go. He's already embracing it. We're helping him cope.
Like the, it's therapeutic.
The trademark gallows humor of the Rick Emerson Show, through which one gets through even the darkest of days. All right, Chris. We'll check in with you at the end of today's program, my friend.
Will do.
All right, there you go. Well, that was awkward. It's 503.
Well, we helped him through it.
733.
And we didn't have to use outside parties.
2970.
It's not like cat grief hotline. We did it all here.
We are joined today, as are we always, by the lovely, talented Sarah Dillon. How are you, sister?
Oh, boy. Doing great. How are you?
How's your day? Well, I mean, look, the bar's been set pretty low now for happiness. Really, it seems, by way of comparison, I mean, unless your house burned down or something over the weekend, it seems like you're probably doing okay.
I had to wake up super early this morning to take Nate to the dentist. When it turns out he didn't need me to go because I thought he was going to be drugged and he wasn't.
He had a root canal.
Oh,
how long does that take?
It took an hour. I slept like a...
Only an hour?
Oh. I guess
for
he had
root
had
canal?
One, he had had one before, so they were... The root was already dead, so they were getting rid of it. Something, I don't
this
know.
This is the best show ever.
I don't know how it works. It took an hour.
Dead cats, I slept in the parking lot. Dead roots. All right.
Yeah.
I slept in the parking lot.
I had to go up and tell the woman working at the gate that I wasn't homeless.
We're a program of subtle sophistication.
Oh, God. I thought I was up at 6 a.m.
Right. I was trying to work into the... I was trying to get you to say that he was going to be at the dentist all day. So I could work in my that thing you do all day at the dentist line. Hello? Can you hear me in the back? Here's Tim Riley working on the following stories today.
John Carr, who claims to have murdered JonBenet Ramsey, sipped champagne on his luxury flight to L.A., dined on prawn king prawns, or the fried king prawns, and had cake for dessert. John Carr's next meal was roast duck, chocolates, and Evian. He toasted Boulder's assistant DA and clinked glasses with him. John Carr went to a sex change clinic. He's a work in progress.
Okay. And whatnot. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we got Clyde Lewis with news at Ground Zero. Later on, CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy is in Boulder, Colorado. And I believe we have Peter Carlin from the Oregonian coming up as well. That's we're not entirely sure about that. I want to have him on to talk about this Spike Lee movie, which debuts tonight on PBS, When the Levee Broke, which is all about the Katrina hurricane, which is apparently pretty powerful. He wrote a whole piece on it in the Living section. This is the whole section of the opening here. I'm supposed to talk about what I did this weekend. But you ever have one of those weekends where you just suddenly you realize it's Sunday night, you haven't really done anything? Like you look back and you go, what did I do this weekend? How is it that I passed 48 hours? And I really couldn't tell you. It's all a blur.
Did you eat a lot of pizza?
I did, actually. That's it. Well, we have this, Laura and I have this whole ritual where we eat pizza on Sunday while watching Entourage. There's always one program that airs during the week that is our, because we limit ourselves to one pizza a week, because otherwise it would just be, we have no self-control otherwise, so we've had to draw boundaries for ourselves. But so we ordered a pizza last night, watched Entourage, during which I was happy to report that the character of E, Eric Murphy, uses the same phone that I do. I was happy to see that Eric Murphy on Entourage also uses the Motorola Q. So I, as always, am on the bleeding edge of societal evolution here. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Let's get underway. I'm cringing in anticipation of this next sound element. God only knows how loud this is going to be. Ladies and gentlemen, I say pulling the headphones away from my ears. Let's go to the city desk with your personal savior, Tim.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour. And now, from the city desk, Tim Riley.
From high top to bottom of the coin tower, downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the Ministry of Truth. Tim Riley reporting. Who knows what's going to happen next?
Does anybody know what's going on?
No.
Well, we know somebody's cat died. And you got your trek back and you ate pizza this weekend.
This is probably the ghost of Thespis.
That's what's happened so far, anyway.
Causing all of this. All right.
Half of the Bush Watch.
He's the president, resident, kind of in charge. He's got the whole country saying, that's my Bush. Life is hard, that's the price of fame. When you're president, everyone knows your name. Hey, what's that thing? It's my Bush. I can't believe he's actually in the White House. That's our man. That's my Bush.
The president held a news conference this morning and acknowledged that many Americans are growing increasingly discouraged about the ongoing war in Iraq. Number one.
But wars are not a time of joy. These aren't joyous times. These are challenging times. And they're difficult times. And they're straining the psyche of our country. I understand that. You know, nobody likes to see innocent people die.
He vigorously defended his decision to invade Iraq, saying the world is better off without Saddam in power. The U.S. will continue aiming at effective democracy in the nuclear crisis in Iran. Bush says we better worry that Iran will build a nuclear weapon and kill us all.
Iran is obviously part of the problem. They sponsor Hezbollah. They encourage a radical brand of Islam. Imagine how difficult this issue would be if Iran had a nuclear weapon.
There's another good one.
It's a three-syllable word!
Never let them forget they need us.
For the love of sweet, holy zombie Jesus!
He's from Texas.
He's not from Texas! Quit saying that!
He's a plain-spoken fella who worked in a haberdashery.
Just provoking me now. You're just trying to make me more irritated. All right, first of all, that first sentence, that first clip there is just... That's somebody in Karl Rove's office trying to find... That's a bunch of leftover statements that they just wanted to string together into some sort of a paragraph. It's like how...
Well, they're not going to throw away those index cards.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like how the West Wing was made out of... It's just totally true, by the way, that the pilot for the West Wing was made up of leftover dialogue from the American president that Aaron Sorkin had sitting around his office. That's what this first statement is, this whole... I do not like things that kill children and puppies.
But wars are not a time of joy. These aren't joyous times. These are challenging times. And they're difficult times. And they're straining the psyche of our country. I understand that. You know, nobody likes to see innocent people
all
die.
Right. And then the best part about this second clip that we played here is how familiar this all sounds. How it's just the most potent sense of deja vu.
Iran is obviously part of the problem.
Uh-huh.
They sponsor Hezbollah. They encourage a radical brand of Islam. Imagine how difficult this issue would be if Iran had a nuclear weapon.
I got one more.
It's like being dipped in kerosene and set on fire. That's what it feels like every time I hear that guy speak. Wait, but let's take a moment. Let's take a break here. Let's take a pause from the action and talk to Lori. And here's why. Because it says on the screen, Lori loves her cat, also waiting for it to die. Lori, hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson program. How can I help you today? Oh, here we okay. This is how it's going to be.
Hi.
Hi, Lori. How you doing today?
How's the weather where you are?
Oh, it's sunny. I'm in Portland. Well, I'm in Milwaukee. It's okay. It's perfect. It's not too hot.
Are people letting their dogs run loose in your neighborhood?
Do you have a sofa you'd like to trade in? Lori, how can I help you today?
I was just calling to tell you I love my cat, but he's so old. I'm just waiting for him to die. I'm tired of cleaning up all the millennials of him.
There you go. It's another pick-me-up call from the Rick Emerson audience today.
All right, thanks.
If you, thank you. Okay, there you go. If you've got something old around your house and you're just waiting for it to die, cat,
make sure you,
uncle.
Make sure you have your radio turned up as loud as possible when you call in. Turn that radio up.
Okay.
I do have one more soundbite here in the bush box.
Maybe she'd like a weekend program as well.
That kind of radio is easy to do, isn't it?
Laurie, if you'd like to drop off an unlabeled air check at the front desk on a Friday afternoon.
At 5 before 5. Expecting the PD as he walks out of the building.
If you'd like to... never mind. Screw it. Let's move on.
President Bush says we must stop depending on oil.
The strategy is to recognize that a dependency upon crude oil is in a global market affects us economically here at home, and therefore we need to diversify away from as quickly as possible.
All right, let's start today.
Okay. Let's, and ready, break. All right. Speaking of break, let's take one right now. We'll come back. We've got Clyde Lewis with news at Ground Zero on the way. Maybe Clyde is waiting for something to die. Let's find out what everybody's waiting on to die today. Let's see. What else? We have senior radio correspondent Ed McCarthy coming up later on. Peter Carlin, Week in Geek and Stormwatch. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's the best Monday ever.
He's the president.
Stay there. Back after this.
In charge. He's got the whole country saying, that's my bird.
Try this, Sarah. Instead of turning me up, why don't we pot down everything but you and I? Does that make any sense?
No, you're kind of creepy.
I'm saying instead of turning your microphone and my microphone up, which is just going to screw everything up, why don't we pot down a little bit everything that is not you and I? Because I'm having to like scream from my diaphragm over here to be heard.
Yeah.
You know, in other words, like the music, the phone, and Tim, just turn that down like about 30% from whatever it is. There you go. And relatively speaking, it will seem like you and I have been turned up a little bit. All right, thank you.
You're so weird.
How am I weird? I'm trying to make the best of a bad situation here. We're having some issues with the microphone.
What a good way
here
to start a Monday.
AM 970. It's 503-733-2970. And Scotty J just inadvertently hung up on CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. Thank you, Scotty. Let's see. We've got this. Rick, I've tried leaving the icebox open near one of my uncles in hopes of luring him in. It hasn't worked.
Put a little catnip in there.
Back to the drawing board. Well, how about this one? Rick. No, I'll come back to this. We're getting all these emails about cat death. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson radio program, the one and only Clyde Lewis. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well today.
Well, that makes one of us.
I want to comment, though. You missed out on an opportunity, a great opportunity this last...
Is this a great opportunity to work from home and make more money than I thought I could in just a few hours?
No, that's not it. No. At Dante's, I believe it was Saturday night, the most amazing show ever to hit Portland came in. It was Thor. And you missed...
Oh, and Stovacore, too, huh?
Thor, Stovacore, and his Zolar X band. It looked like a bunch of Ramones, David Bowie types with blonde hair. But Thor is the most amazing experience. The next time Thor comes to town, you need to see Thor. It's like...
I don't understand. You keep saying I need to see Thor. I don't know what that means.
Well, Thor is...
That's like saying I need to see Quetzalcoatl.
No. Thor is a heavy metal band, and the guy is the original God of Thunder. This guy comes out. He's built like Darth Vader.
Uh-huh.
He's wearing a mask with... It's just a mask that covers his face with horns. He's so frightening. And he just comes out and storms on stage and sings heavy metal rock and roll. And I lost completely all my senses and just kept on chanting Thor over and over again because it was the most amazing thing I ever seen.
It's a very strange conversation that we're having
here. No, it's not. You would have loved Thor. It was pure metal. It was pure Booba? Adrenaline. It was Booba Shabaya. It was amazing.
It's really just all about getting to that moment.
Yeah, it was.
And then Stove, of course, the Klingon metal thing, right?
No, they were great, too. They play, I mean, they're always good.
Oh, I see. Here's how it is. They're yesterday's news to you, aren't they, Klingon?
No, they're not.
You've
no.
moved on. They're the old, cow.
I'm now into Thor. No, I just thought it was...
Thor, man.
I've never seen Thor before, and everybody knows who Thor is. He's like a legend here in Portland, I guess.
It sounds like you spent the weekend at a bathhouse. That's
no,
really what
Thor.
This...
See, even Sadie said it sounded gay. It is not gay.
Well, you just said you lost control of all your senses and kept
control of myself when I was watching Thor.
What
I just
is it with you people?
Chanting
it's not,
Thor over...
It's not gay to want to see a heavy metal show. It's just not.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying it to the casual, the outside observer. Your constant exhortations about the glory of Thor.
It was just Thor, man. It was like watching Darth Vader perform. It was, if Darth Vader was a singer, it would be Thor. Booba Shabaya.
All right.
So anyway.
All right.
You missed out on that since you're such a metal god.
Do you have any stories about anything dying, perhaps in a horrific fashion? Maybe something that you're...
What are you waiting to die?
Maybe someone whose death you're waiting on?
Not necessarily. Why? You hear something I haven't heard? No, actually, I've been reading a lot about lately about how in foreign countries now they are taking people, they're mugging them for their body parts. In fact, some guy was talking about how he was in some place called Lumpopo or whatever, and they cornered him and tried to cut his tongue out.
What would you even do with that?
Well, they were going to do some strange ritual with his tongue. I don't know what they were going to do with it, but then I was reading about how...
Is Lumpopo a made-up place? Did you just make that up right now to see if I spot it?
Let's see.
Is that where Wonka goes and gets the Oompa Loompas from?
It's called Lumpopo, or Lumpupu, or Shabaya. I mean, I'm coming up with all these weird names all of a sudden, right?
Okay.
But no, it's true. They were like, they actually pulled this guy aside. It's Limpopo. Limpopo police are talking with people about stealing body parts from people who are still alive, including tongues.
Are you sure that this wasn't in a Monty Python film that you were watching?
No, not at all.
Because there's that whole, you know, The Meaning of Life, Part 5, live organ transplants.
That's exactly what that is.
I'm still using it.
Well, no, listen, another thing, too, is I just wanted to let you know, remember I was talking about how this guy who allegedly killed JonBenet Ramsey is lying?
Yeah.
Don't you find it a bit weird that he got business class and they were feeding him shrimp, cake, and champagne on the way to the...
I don't think so. See, everybody's latched right onto that they're like giving the guy the first class treatment.
Stuck with soy sauce and yellow noodles.
You hear a whole lot of the redneck types who are all like, well, the same people complaining about that are the ones who complain about, well, you know, that prison, that's just a country club. It's because they want to keep him cooperative. That's the thing. You don't want to be working the guy over with a hose. You want to keep him. You want to keep him cooperative because
he's a pedophile.
Well. That's not whether or not he's a pedophile. It's still easier to convict a guy who's cooperative than a guy who's not.
But we don't want to convict him. We want to find out if he's telling the truth.
Yeah, but they're going to convict him on something. They're going to convict him on any number of things, whether or not JonBenet Ramsey's murder is one of them.
Well,
so it's a lot easier to convict a guy who's working with you.
I stick by my story that this guy's lying, and I think.
I'm sure he's lying about this, but he's obviously a freak who's guilty of something. He's already been hit with child porn charges in the past.
Take your choice: a prison in Thailand, or a prison in the United States. Which you'll probably not get because they'll probably think you're crazy and they'll give you just mental institutions.
Right, so that's what I'm saying. The whole thing, they're pampering the guy because they want him, like I said, because it's just, because if he digs in his heels and quits cooperating, then you're never going to be able to get him in anything.
I mean,
so I don't care about that.
I'm reading the San Francisco Chronicle. They're saying we need to apologize for Patsy Ramsey. I don't know if you've used the term Patsy for Patsy.
He's a Patsy for Patsy. It's a genius term, by the way. You were saying that the other night, snakes on a plane.
Yeah, and I think that that's what exactly is happening. And I also think it's also a what you call a distraction from the idea that we have a war going on, that our president's a moron, and that everything seems to be falling apart, including the ceasefire in Israel. So, I mean, you know, I tell you what, they shoved everything aside for this moron from Thailand, and I can tell you right now he's lying, and I can tell you right now that they will discover that he is lying, and we'll all be duped into, and a lot of people who are already duped into this are just, I mean, even the Rocky Mountain News has written that this guy killed her just as much as Mickey Mouse has written her.
No, they're going to hose, and they're going to hose that prosecutor and everybody associated with this case.
There's one thing that I want to point out, though, and this is what's really creepy. Is that
Booba Shabaya?
Yes, there is this thing about the Santa Claus teddy bear. Have you heard about this? The Santa Claus teddy bear. He has a picture of a boy that he was with that had the Santa Claus teddy bear, and JonBenet also had a sound.
You know, the creepy thing is that you're kind of lowering your voice, sex phone operator style.
Yeah.
Right now?
He had a Santa Claus teddy bear.
You were just sort of doing like a creepy little, come on, love thing. I want to give it all to you. Kind of a thing going on right now when you were talking about that.
No, but I just think that's the creepy part, because if that's the case.
Well, that's the creepy part. Not the duct tape and the raping.
Everything else is acceptable.
Everything else is fine.
The creepy part is this. I'll tell you what the creepy part is. Booba Shibaya. If this teddy bear was sent to JonBenet.
See, you're doing it again right now.
This guy could be.
May I send you a teddy bear?
This guy could be a freaking voodoo weirdo. He could be, because.
That seems likely.
That is called a fetish. When they send something to you like that, it's a fetish. They have control over you if you accept something from a guy who does voodoo or weirdness or what have you, or even a witch or something like that. This guy could have possibly done it. He could have probably willed it. That's the scary part. And I know it's an outrageous thing,
yes,
but he could have done it. Booba Shibaya. Exactly.
Okay. All right.
So,
Clyde Lewis, you'll be speaking at Dante's tonight with more of these peculiar observations.
I might.
Clyde, are you going to be at Dante's tomorrow night?
What's that?
Are you going to be at Dante's tomorrow night?
You're lucky.
I'm always at Dante's on Tuesday night to cheer on Storm Large.
Don't forget it's happening an hour later tomorrow. It's happening at 10 p.m. tomorrow.
What?
I'm outraged. Yeah, it's happening at 10 p.m. because apparently at 9 o'clock there's a program with children singing.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Lucky
you.
We
can gather early and watch it together, Clyde.
Or just drink.
Yeah, we could just do that. We'll just drink. How's that?
And watch the children. For the children, indeed.
Booba Shibaya. So, yeah, I'll be there tonight speaking at 8 o'clock. I really don't know what I'm speaking of, because I know that Bigfoot's a big lie, too. The group that said the Bigfoot was shot, now the official word is that we have no Bigfoot. That's what
this is not the Sasquatch you were looking for.
The government issued a statement saying there is no Bigfoot in there.
Only Zool.
Only Zool.
Right.
Only Thor.
ClydeLewis.com and see him tonight at Dante's if you're lucky.
Thor.
And tomorrow night as well. Thank you, my friend.
All right, buddy.
All right,
bye-bye.
There you go. That's Clyde Lewis, ladies and gentlemen. There you go. Good God almighty. Rick, tell the woman who's waiting for her cat to die that Mailman Chris has a cooler he could lend her. That's a terrible thing to say. He might as well. We both know that nobody in that family is going to pack picnic treats in anything plastic ever again.
Send that cat to the cooler.
That's Jeff.
My friend Corey owns a cooler he can fit in.
That mailman Chris can... Oh, that Corey That's, can fit in?
Yeah, it's the biggest
is
cooler.
Is Corey real small or is the cooler real big?
The cooler's real big.
Okay. All right. Here's the thing. If the cat's only a year old, and the kid's not that old...
I don't really buy the fact that the cooler shut itself and sealed airtight.
I wonder if there was some killing going on. Wonder if there was a Santa teddy bear somewhere in the house when this all happened. Here, but my whole thing is this. The kid's not that old. You could probably swap out, like, another cat. I mean, kids at that age are still really dumb.
Too bad the kid found the dead cat.
No, but I'm saying, look,
they revived Fluffy.
That's what I'm saying.
The cat was playing.
You say, look over there. Whoa. Pull the new cat out of a bag. Here you go. The cat went to the hospital. The cat is all better.
Cats have 9 lives.
The kid would probably buy that at that age. You could probably do that. Now it's not. Steve, but you can't say the cat has 9 lives because then the kids are going to, like, kill it 7 more times just to see it come back. So you can't do that. But, I mean, you know, how hard can it be to find another cat that, you know, bears a vague resemblance to the other one? Gandalf came back, and he looked all different. Everybody bought that. So, you know. Come on. Hello. Sound like Whoopi Goldberg in Soap Dish. They saved the head! Here's Tim Riley.
I think this cat is taking away the seriousness of what's really going on today.
I'm sorry.
We're talking about John Mark Carr, who ate duck and cake and pizza and pie and chocolate and drank Evian. Well, apparently one male passenger aboard that flight whose name is Butch McIntosh.
Butch McIntosh. Joe Don Baker is Butch McIntosh.
His car was treated like royalty.
He was like the BBIP. Let's be honest about it.
He was like a BBIP?
That's what it sounds like.
He was like the BBIP. Let's be
He quacked.
What is a BBIP?
Who's quacking?
He was like the BBIP.
He does quack. At the beginning, he says quack.
What's he complaining about other people eating duck for?
And then he says he was a BBIP. Also, his name is Butch McIntosh. All right, I want you to tell Nate right now that's going to be like, that's exactly the sort of thing that Nate, your boyfriend, will seize on as like his new alter ego.
Nate, Butch McIntosh?
Tell Nate to begin sending out... Here's Nate's new thing, because Nate prides himself, I know, on having sort of SIG files on his email that are sort of wacky and that are not what everybody... Because, you know, signature files on emails, everybody does the whole, like, you know, live life, blah, 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 Carrie Underwood, you know, or whatever, or like some crap from Star Trek. And Nate prides himself on having unusual signature files that are sort of funny but a little left of center. And he quotes things like he'll quote Mitch Hedberg, or he'll quote, you know, like himself, you know, wah, wah. Here's the thing. Nate should start fabricating, like tough guy, hard guy quotes from Butch McIntosh. Completely fictitious, made-up quotes from tough guy Butch McIntosh. He should become a fictitious character that Nate can quote in his SIG files at the end of his emails. Let's hear Butch.
Yeah, I want to hear him quack again.
That is weird, isn't it? I'm still trying to figure out what a BBIP is.
He was like the BBIP. Let's be honest about it.
Is that a maybe bulging black...
A very important
person. Say, like, VV?
He was like the VVIP. Let's be honest about it.
VVIP. Is that a very, very...
Oh, that could be, yeah. Well, Butch McIntosh Vulcan, says he couldn't believe that car was on the same flight as he was.
Quite unbelievable. I was actually watching the news. I've been paying attention to the news because of the whole terrorism stuff going on. And then
because I'm Butch McIntosh.
They were saying that he was going to be flying into LAX at about 8 o'clock. And I was like, gosh, I went and grabbed my itinerary. And sure enough, there it was. I was going in at the same time. So I had an idea that he might be on the flight.
A guy named Butch McIntosh, he is the itinerary. He doesn't grab. He makes his own rules and the schedule bends to him. Mm-hmm. That's what Butch McIntosh does. All right.
Should give him the money. I mean, a couple $100s.
Oh, I've tried to play the BBIP thing again. I keep forgetting that it switches banks automatically. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, the doctor told the Denver Post today he was treating John Mark Carr for hair removal in advance of sex change therapy. Carr came to him on March 9th for hair removal on his face, neck, and cheeks. The reason he wanted to do that, because he wanted a sex change operation. He told me he was in the process of the medical treatment of cutting off his testicles. The doctor who performs a sex change surgery for $1,625. Well, that's a bargain basement price. Yeah. I didn't remember Carr and couldn't say whether or not he was a patient. An advertisement in an English language newspaper also lists price in U.S. dollars. The good doctor charges $1,125 for breast enlargement, $625 for liposuction, tummy tucks for $1,200, and testicle removal for $125, which is the cheapest on the price list.
Why would it even cost $100? Can I just confess something right here?
Divided by two.
I wasn't really listening just now. I was sort of listening with one ear, and I was sort of screening some of these emails. May I see that story for a moment?
Sure.
All right. See, because here's the thing. To me, all would-be sex change recipients are their Bunny Yeager from Ed Wood. Let's see.
Well, they don't all go to Mexico. Some go to Thailand.
Or Christine Jorgensen showed a newspaper advertisement that ran in an English language paper that listed prices in U.S. dollars. Is this a doctor in where? Where is this?
Thailand.
Okay. Mm-hmm. A tummy tuck is $1,200. Mm-hmm. Liposuction, $600. Breast enlargement surgery, attention Sarah Dillon, $1,100. Removal of testicles, $125. Why would it even cost that much? How much? Just get yourself a pair of garden shears and a cork. What else? What could you put? Where would the money go? Is that just for some industrial strength Bufferin? Or,
Rick, we could start our own business and do it for like $125.
Seriously, just undercut ever so slightly, so to speak. Veja Vizit said he wouldn't remember Carr because he sees hundreds of patients a month.
Well, with prices like that, how would he know?
With prices
volume,
like this,
volume.
Good credit, yeah. Bad credit, no credit.
Don't laugh, they could become advertisers.
Oh, if they could pass the CVS credit check, they'll be home with an annual. Imagine what the floor must look like in this operating room. Oh, my God.
It could be pristine for all you know. Don't need to knock a man's business.
That's true. This guy does look pretty feminine to begin with, though. This car guy who's claiming that he killed JonBenet, who probably didn't. He does look like a guy that probably would benefit. I think he'd make a better-looking woman than he does
maybe
a man.
Maybe he's trying to become, get a look like JonBenet Ramsey.
Oh, that's just creepy.
Would you put it past him?
No, I would not. He does seem, this guy obviously didn't do the JonBenet Ramsey crime, but he is clearly whacked. I mean, here's the thing. This car guy is going to be providing us with lots of entertainment, I think, for many, many, many months
right,
to come.
Who wants to talk about Iraq or the situation in the Middle East?
Seriously, no, I can already tell this guy's fertile ground for, mm-hmm. for, All right, so...
Karl Rove can do better than this.
Can I just tell you something here?
Sure.
And I know that this is going to be another thing like the foot fetish thing, where I'm going to express some interest in something because I find it peculiar. And you guys are going to grab it and run with it as though I have some sort of full-fledged interest in this, which is not the case. I do think about sex change operations, not a lot, but that's perhaps not the best way to put it.
On occasion?
but now and again, on a slow Sunday afternoon, while drinking tea with my pinky extended, while sitting on my sun porch, I sometimes ponder sex change operations. I do think about sex change operations, and here's why. Because... sex change operations are one of those things that you hear sort of referenced in the pop culture a lot because they're just sort of, you know, they're sort of
a thing to guess.
Because the kids and the MySpace, they love the sex change operations.
Today is hula hoop.
Yes, it really is. New from Wham-O. Does the Wham-O company still exist, do you suppose?
Yes, it does.
Oh, I love the Wham-O company.
They don't do sex change operations.
Not yet.
No.
Anyway, but you hear sex change operations references sort of a funny element of pop culture. But it's one of those things that you hear referenced a lot, and yet you don't really know a lot about it. You just sort of, it's one of those things that you sort of, there's a lot of things that you think you know about it. For example, for
satellite
reason,
television.
I was under the impression for a long time that you couldn't get them in America, that you had to go to, like, Denmark or somewhere to get a sex change operation. But that's not true, I don't think. I think you can get them here, right? Well, Sarah's saying yes. I don't know. I've never tried to have a sex change operation.
I don't see why you wouldn't be able to here.
Well, I don't know. I thought it was one of those things where it's like you... Because all of my knowledge of these things comes from jokes and just from, like, bad comedic references. You never hear a guy saying, well, I'm flying to L.A. to get that sex change operation. The joke is always like, well, I'm flying to Copenhagen tomorrow. And is it a thing? They don't do it all at once. Do they really do the surgery? Is it really several surgeries stretched over a six-month period? Is
yes.
that true? Does anybody know?
I believe...
Tim Riley, newsman?
I believe that's the truth. And then they disappear, and then they come back as somebody else.
Now, is it... I really am fascinated by this. Doesn't anybody else find the sex change surgery?
I know a little bit about it because my consultant, who was mean and in a bad mood for months, finally disappeared. Now we knew why he was so mean. Well, he was
your consultant for what?
A radio program I was fired from.
I thought perhaps you were referring to something else.
No. I don't know what that would be.
Well, neither do I, frankly. Oh. But when I asked you about a sex change, and you said, well, my consultant told me.
Oh, no.
I thought that was like the consultant at the medical hair restoration
place.
No,
but I've only had one type of consultant, and those are the people who ruin your radio program and get you fired.
What consultant? You had a consultant who had a sex change operation?
He had a sex change operation. He was actually a radio consultant.
Do I know this person?
No.
Maybe
you
I only know him after. Would I know him? So I do. Would I know him as a man or a woman?
No, as a woman. Who just changed one letter of their name.
Oh, wait. So Carl to Carla?
Something like that, yes.
Is it, let's see, Carl to Carla, is it Dean to Dina?
No. It's a J to J.
John to Joanna.
No, J to D. I'm telling you.
Oh, J to J-A-Y-E?
He was a J-A-Y, now he's a J.
You had a radio consultant who had a sex change operation?
Why not?
It's not like I'm morally offended, but it's... Okay, because here's another reason why this is interesting. Relatively...
Everybody?
Well, I... Look, relatively speaking...
Look, it happens to you.
It happened to me. The J to J story. Now, relatively speaking,
mm-hmm.
I know a pretty large number of people
mm-hmm.
who've had sex change operations or one degree removed. Here's what I'm talking about. So... You, Tim Riley, had a radio consultant
Correct.
Who had a sex change operation.
Mm-hmm.
I just spoke to someone, and I will not identify who this is, but I just spoke to someone that here at CBS Radio Portland who knew someone who had that happen. They didn't, but there's somebody that we work with here who knew someone who had that happen.
There's a very good chance
okay,
of that.
I went to high school with a guy who had a sex change operation. I will not name, but this is completely true, and I will not give his name because I don't know that it's public knowledge. I think he may have vanished from one part of the country and, as you said, reappeared in another part of the country as a woman and tried to cover all tracks from one to the other. But I went to high school with a guy who, well, I'll just, I mean, got it all removed. And it's always like male to female, too. That's the thing. As in J to J.
Mm-hmm.
That's like three people that I know of with a maximum of 1 degree of separation who've had a sex change.
See, it's sweeping.
I don't know that many people who've had nose jobs. Right. Isn't that kind of weird?
No, it's just something that's sweeping the nation.
Like that Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Hi, Sarah. How you doing today? Sarah's just sort of leaning back in her chair as though she's taking a nap. You're not really contributing to this conversation.
I don't have anything to contribute to the sex change conversation.
We could go back to talking about breast enlargements.
I'm not going to get breast enlargements that only cost $1,100.
That's sort of the reverse of I'm not going to pay a lot for this muffler. It's like I'm not going to pay very little for these breasts.
Thank goodness you don't have testicles to be removed. And by the way, we're only disclosing facts of a medical procedure here.
Look at all of these people calling about sex change operations.
You stuck in there with the public.
I don't even.
We were talking about dead cats and coolers a few minutes ago. This is a topical program.
This is the program we should send to Les Moonves. Jesus Christ. Let's. God, it's with the greatest of trepidation that I. Hello, Joe. What do you?
Yeah.
What do you know? What do you got, brother?
So
you
my girlfriend works for a doctor's office in town where they do the outpatient surgery for sex change operations, and she's seen a couple of them.
Now, when you say outpatient surgery, what does that mean?
Well, like not like the outpatient, like they go home and then they come back for checkups, whatnot.
Oh, so this is sort of the after the surgery maintenance or
right.
consultation.
But she's also seen it done live.
Really?
Yeah.
She's been in the room as they're making a man into a woman.
Right. Do you want me to tell you how they do it?
I think I could probably put two and two together there. I mean, I'm just curious about whether. How do I ask this? To the best of your knowledge, Joe.
Yeah.
When the man is becoming a woman.
Mm-hmm.
This sounds like some sort of special talk that deviants have with their children. Honey, when a man is becoming a woman, do they do like the bottom half and then like a couple weeks later do the top half? How does that work?
That I don't know.
All right, because that's the thing that I'm sort of curious.
I first to get you a little assimilated, and then, you know, put some chicken berries.
Oh, that's okay. Thank you, sir. All right, thank you, my friend.
Yeah, and I also worked with one that went from a woman to a man.
Really? Because I think that's a rarity. I think that's.
Yeah,
I think typically it is.
Not a very nice guy.
Yeah. Beat your ass in a bar fight. All right. Thank you, Joe.
Yep. Have a good.
All right. There you go. Kyle, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What have you to contribute to this sex change operation conversation?
Oh, so a little bit, but I think I got something for you. Eastmoreland Hospital over there in Gateway, before they shut down, was the country's number one sex change hospital.
That's what I like to hear about a hospital. Before they shut down, that's like a before the government came in and closed them sort of a thing. So they were really Eastmoreland, so they were the number one sex change operation hospital in the country?
My mom used to work in a clinic across the street that did not do sex change, just normal hospital visits, but she had to go into the hospital a couple times and,
to get coffee or something, and
they used to glance at them through the window.
Well, she said it was the worst thing you'd ever see is some guy in the middle of a sex change, because yes, it does take, many months to do, and so when they're in between phases of, during the cycle of it, they're not very good looking.
I can imagine. Well, let's be honest. It's not like most completely finished sex change operation patients are real, like, perfect 10 models. I mean, that's, you know what I mean? We all know that that's true. That's interesting is what that is. It's just, it's one of those things that, again, I just, you don't really think about it all that often because, let's be honest, it's not a thing that has a lot of applicability to most of our everyday lives. But when you think about it, that's goddamn weird. And I'm not trying to look down on those, but whatever. I don't really care. I'm just saying, when you think about it strictly from just an objective point of view, it just is very bizarre. It's just a very strange thing. And again, I pass no moral judgment. Of course, everybody's got to do what they think is right and whatever. I'm just saying it is a kind of a strange thing.
It is something good to tell all your friends about how great Portland is.
Yeah,
number
really?
One
no.
in sex changes.
I mean, we'll see. We can add that to the list. So now, because that hospital closed, are we still number one in the country?
I have no idea.
I wonder, has another hospital, this was Westmoreland, you said?
Eastmoreland.
Has another hospital taken up the sex change slack?
As far as I know, I'd have no idea.
Because that would be another thing we could put on our, like, on the Portland.org, you know, whatever, like, webpage. Like, welcome, you know, for, like, when they try to get new people and businesses to move here. You know, not only are we number one in strip clubs and microbrews and coffee, also sex change. Somebody should find out. All right, thank you, sir.
Uh-huh.
All right, there you go. That's Kyle. Okay. Was that your stomach?
Yes.
I just heard that over the microphone.
My stomach's gurgling.
Is it doing it right now? Can you mic your stomach now? Can you move the microphone down? Okay, we're going to mic Sarah's stomach.
We've done this before.
I know, but it didn't happen last time. It's sort of like an ultrasound, but with gas.
These mics are much louder now.
I can't get my stomach very close to it.
And that's what happens when you want it to happen.
Camera micing.
It's not doing it.
I just heard it from like...
I know. Yeah,
literally just now, I heard your stomach growling, and you were like a good 4 feet away from the microphone.
I eat all my lunch at 11, and then I'm already hungry again.
Oh, my.
That's what happens. Mm. Can we please break?
Sex change chime in, says this call. All right. Well, you've got many sex change calls, inexplicably. This is a for the children. Not for the children. This is a...
It's because we've lost interest in the war in Iraq.
Yes, and because the only alternative is to talk about cat deaths some more. And nobody wants that. We'll save that for later. Chris, by the way, Chris he sent me an email saying... Chris sent me an email, Rick... You don't know how much I was hoping you didn't ask how my weekend was. Sorry about that, he says. Ah, there you go. What can you do? It's 503-733-2970. We'll take a break. We'll come back. More phone calls later on. We have a CNN radio correspondent, Ed McCarthy. He's going to talk about this freak in Boulder. We have Peter Carlin coming up later on. We'll talk about Storm Large and Rockstar, which is coming up tomorrow night. And so forth. Don't forget, there's now 4.44444% more Rick Emerson Show. We go till 3:06 every day. You stay there. We're back after this. Here's Kiss.